Yeah. Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT Crew.
Whoa.
SRT. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll top forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Bleed it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And the SRT crew is in the building. Thanks for tuning in for another hot episode of Sports Roundtable each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are in the building. I am your host, H.O. Got the crew in here with me. My main man, sports superhero Hancock. From Memphis 10, and of course, the Gump legend, D. Will, the coach.
Yep.
And of course, the man behind the glass dropping the beats, G Money.
Yo.
The man behind the glass. You want to tune into the show, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. And we got a lot going on today, fellas. Got a lot to talk about. It is sports season in full effect. Baseball season is ending. Basketball is still trying to stay relevant, as we see or as we heard this past week and things of that nature. But right now, Hancock, D. Will, the NFL product is not showing excitement at this point.
No. be a little bit more specific for me, because I'm still not quite understanding what excitement is not showing. What do you mean by that?
Bad quarterback play, bad tackling.
It's just bad football all the way around. It's
the expectations
to be
are not.
For it to be the NFL, the National Football League, the highest level of our sport, it's not being played at the highest level throughout the league.
We'll get into it, because we definitely go get into it in our sports roundtable discussion. Definitely go get into that. Shout out to all y'all Facebook live listeners or onlookers. G, what you laughing at?
I'm good, man. Let's just get into this. there are a lot of answers to that question, though.
It truly is. But we're gonna definitely talk about it tonight. We got hot news coming up in about 2 minutes. We got some hot news coming up. We got our SRT College Football Power 10. And then we have our Falcon report. My main man DW had an emergency, so he was gonna call in around 7:30. But we will do our own Falcon report for you. Then we got Ballers and Busters. And wait till you hear who my buster is this week. Whew, that's going to be exciting. And I'm pretty sure some people are going to agree with my buster. Second hour of the show, we got my main man, Rain Man, calling in with his picks. He went 2-1 last week, right? I think he went 2-1 last week. And we'll give you a game. We'll give you a game to kind of go on for this week. And then we got our roundtable discussion where we're going to talk about, is Clemson for real? Is KC for real? And we'll talk about what we just talked about, the NFL and the product and things of that nature. So we got a lot to talk about, and we'll break down, I guess Mississippi State just slid on up in there with the breakdown. Mississippi State, Georgia, we're going to break that down for all y'all local. I hope my main man, Mr. Studdard, tune in tonight as we talk Georgia football and it could be a quarterback controversy at Georgia here pretty soon. It really could be a quarterback controversy.
Dun, 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 dun.
And it's going to be interesting. And Mississippi State may be the team to hurry up and make that decision. So, all right, G, with that, all that being said, oh, before we start, follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And don't forget to check in on the website, srtradio.com.
Jewel.
Please do that. And, all right, G, let's go ahead and get into this hot news. Let's see what's popping.
Blazing. What up, Blaze? Scorching.
What up, Blaze? I see
red
you.
Red hot.
What's up, bro? Yo, I'm hot.
Tiff, what up, baby? The Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Face.
Oh, man behind the glass. Doing this thing. Oh, so we got to turn the speaker off for that. The hot news sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go on over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town and is verified. Hancock, question number one. You're a Cowboy fan. For the last 3 days, the national people have been talking about this one guy. Are people overreacting to Zeke and his lack of effort, in your opinion?
In a nutshell, yes. And the reason I say that is just like when a game is played, national game, any game that the Cowboys are in, there's always a camera trained on Zeke. It's just like when Tiger played golf. There was always a camera on Tiger. Everybody else in the PGA cussed, did things crazy. But Tigers were amplified because he was always shown. For every play, you expect the camera to stay on Zeke because he might do something. Same thing that happened when Mike Vick was playing, whatever. But to see him on two plays, you're going to categorize him as being as quitting because he made a block on a blitzing player on the interception return for the touchdown that who's that, Tlaib took back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he picked up a blitzing linebacker, cut him, so he was on the ground when the interception happened. So Tlaib's running down the field, right? No, he didn't give chase, but the game was out of hand, whatever. Let's say he gets up, twists an ankle, gets hit blindside, whatever. Then we're saying, oh, he got hurt. He shouldn't have chased it down. Now, the other one where he didn't chase down after that pick, the first interception, you could say, okay, yeah, he should have chased. But to say that he solely is a quitter, quit on his team, I think it's just a little overblown. But like I said, he's always going to be shown, no matter what. But I guarantee you, with all the bad quarterbacking play that you stated earlier,
mm-hmm.
there are interceptions that happen in numerous games. I can guarantee you. Well, I can't guarantee you because I can't say. I can honestly say I could wager an amount a large amount of money that there was some quitting, if you want to characterize Zeke. There was some other quitting that went on on Sunday. So, you know, like you said, the most high-profile organization in football, the Dallas Cowboys, high-profile player in Zeke, it's blown out of proportion. And it'll all quell as soon as he scores a couple touchdowns and they win a game.
Now, if you could make it quick for me, does the pending court allegations have anything to do with anything that he's doing on the field? Because I can understand the frustration of maybe not knowing whether he's going to play or not and things of that nature. And he led the league in 20-yard runs last year, and he does not have one this year. So, right.
Well,
I mean,
what happens when you lead the league for 1 year? What do defenses do? They stack the box.
Right.
So now it's up to the coaching staff and to Dez Bryant to get open.
Right.
And for Dak.
Catch the ball.
And for Dak to hit some people so Zeke can get some openings. But if you're stacking a box with 8 and 9, he can't run against that.
Right.
But you got to get those safeties back. You got a slow tight end who you put a linebacker on because even if he catches the ball, he won't be scoring. Pretty much you're going to say, well, I don't have to worry about covering him with a safety. I can bring that safety down.
And he doesn't stretch the field at all.
Exactly. So everything's kind of congested with the Cowboys right now. And as far as off the field stuff with him, that depends on the individual. We saw Kobe go through stuff with what was going on with him with his trials and stuff in Denver. But when he was on the court, it was like his safe haven. It was like where he could be himself and get away from it all. So I don't know. It just depends on that person. Certain things affect people different ways. I don't know how it affects it.
Yeah, and to not to pile on, but he's had some people to come out to say he's immature and things of that nature. Had some other allegations at Ohio State and things of that nature.
Yeah, but so, that's what gets me, Harry. Why are we going back? Is to me, okay, all of us were immature at that age.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, thrust me in that position and put millions of dollars in front of me, I'm going to be immature too. But the problem is now is that it's just more, it's seen easier. It gets to everybody at one time. That were immature acts, just like, and I tweeted this about Magic. For him to come out and talk, and Magic is one of my all-time favorite athletes, probably my favorite NBA basketball player. But for him to come out and say Zeke needs to get it together, Magic, look in the mirror, son.
Hey, he said he had seven women on the elevator.
Thank you. And the things that you did when you would point out women after the game to tell people to go get her, go get her.
Exactly.
So these are the things I'm saying. You point these fingers like you didn't have a pass and you weren't something in your youth.
Holier than thou.
Makes no sense.
I agree. All right, D-Will, let's go to KD. Question number two. Kevin Durant comes out clean on Twitter and said he's apologized for his Twitter clapback. Thoughts?
Well, rumors are that Kevin Durant operates under a fake alias. Twitter anyway, all right? So he's the ultimate Twitter troll. He has a fake account. He responds to criticism under a fake account name, goes at it with people. And rumors are that when this Twitter rant came out, he somehow forgot to log out of his main account because he was speaking in third person.
Right.
Okay? He was answering the questions and speaking in third person. So it was kind of odd for him to do that. But for Kevin Durant to be answering regular everyday Joes about situations that go on inside the NBA, lets you know Kevin Durant kind of petty. he got a bit of petty Eddie in him. Okay? So because why are you even worried about what is said about you on Twitter? All right? So, and to go as far as to have a fake account and troll?
He's apparently worse on Instagram.
Thank you.
Now we know why he didn't want to stay in OKC.
Now we know.
Saying that he did not like the coach.
Nope.
And didn't like playing with the other players other than Russ. So maybe him and Russ still cool and all that, but we'll see. Anything in the NFL surprise you the most this week and why?
A couple of things. One, even though the Rams lost, they still scored 20 points, which I don't know if they did in back-to-back games under Jeff Fisher. So that shows Sean McVay can scheme something up to at least get the Rams to score some points. We might, you know, Todd Gurley might be worth putting on your fantasy team again.
I guess Jeff Fisher won't ever get accept our invitation to come on this show then, I'm assuming.
No, he shouldn't.
No.
He said he shouldn't.
No, he should.
All right, G, what else you got?
I don't know. Is it the Panthers? Is their defense good, or was it because they played the 49ers and Bills? They gave up a total of 6 points, so no touchdowns over the first two games. Is it because of the teams they're playing, or is their defense that good? I mean, I think only time will tell about that. But
I think it's a mixture, G. I think it's a mixture. Because both of those offenses are kind of challenged. But,
NFL product.
Yeah, but I think I think they do have a quality defense.
And last is, I'm not sure that – I don't think Green Bay is that good. Seeing them play, even when they played Seattle, Aaron Rodgers covers up a lot of things, but it's going to be a time to where he can't cover up a lot of the deficiencies on Green Bay's offense anymore.
Especially like running back.
Well, I'm just saying, Atlanta, look, hey, Atlanta's just
with offensive line too.
Thank you, G. I mean, let's talk. Let's be real. He played with two tackles that don't belong in the NFL. It's definitely not starters. Mm-hmm. An average quarterback, to me, I always heard about how good Aaron Rodgers was. That night against the Falcons showed me really how good he is. Mm-hmm. He lost his top wide receiver. He lost his second best wide receiver. And he lost two tackles, and they were still moving the football. Mm-hmm. And it was because of him.
Oh, ain't no doubt.
He was throwing from running, whatever. And to me, I always kind of pushed against how good he was. He showed me a lot Sunday night. Yeah. In a loss, he showed me more than I had been getting all those accolades from everybody else. Because those two tackles, they were horrible.
Yeah, they were bad.
So, I mean.
And that's part of the football product.
I don't know how good. I don't know how good they are, G. But I know they were playing with two hands tied behind their backs that Sunday night.
You know they'll be there in the end.
I think they're better than I agree with you. The run game kind of suspect with a converted wide receiver.
He runs hard though.
He does.
He does. He's really tough. Hard to tackle.
But he's a hybrid player. He's not really. If you were going to pick a back in the NFL,
he's a PlayStation running back.
Exactly. So, but we'll see, G. Aaron Rodgers, I agree. He covers up a lot of ills.
All right, question number four. Now, we can get back to this because I know y'all want to get into it. Kyrie, on his exit from the Cavs, came out on one of the shows and gave his explanation of why he left. D-Will, you want to go first?
Sure.
Please let us know your thoughts on that.
Well,
I know you want to say what he really said.
Yeah. I put up a post on my Facebook page, and you can go to my Facebook page. Follow my Facebook page, man, and go see what I said about this situation, because I can't say it on air. At Derrick Williams, that's D-E-R-I-K, last name Williams. Hit me up on Facebook. But I'm telling you, what he basically said is, I don't like that cat. Me and him aren't cool. So I don't owe him anything before I leave here. He's not my father. I don't have to call and consult with him before I leave or on my decisions going forward. Because everybody's like, so, well, and the guy he did the interview with, Loudmouth, he was like, so you don't think you owe him an explanation? He simply said, no. And then it was a silent, awkward pause because they were waiting for him to elaborate. Right. And he was like, no, I don't owe him anything. And I totally agree. Now, we went back and forth on how I feel about why Kyrie made that move and how he made it. I don't agree with it. Right. I say he's a millennial. I think he's selfish. I was like, why would you want to leave when you're winning? And if it's all about winning, that's what you're actually doing. So if you're winning, why leave? But after watching that interview, I understand. They don't get along.
G, what you going to say?
I was going to say, I heard a different angle on that, to where it was kind of a discomfort from the beginning. You remember, Kyrie signed that extension in 2014, 10 days before LeBron announced he was coming back to Cleveland. Okay. No one knew LeBron was coming back to Cleveland. So Kyrie was sold on, okay, we're going to build a team around you. We have a new coach that can maximize your abilities. And, and we're going to, build this team up. And in a few years, we could be a contender if we get some more pieces around you. So he was sold on being the centerpiece of this rebuild, which he was already still a part of. But then everything changes because now LeBron's coming to town and he has to adjust to him.
And I agree with that. But that's the part I have an issue with. I don't have an issue with him wanting to move on and do whatever he wants to do. But my point is, I have an issue with him saying, I want to be on a team where I'm the man. Somebody. Not where I can win, but where I'm the man.
Well, not even just that, but be on a team to where he felt that he had to cater to this one guy. And the whole team, the whole organization has to cater to one guy.
But isn't that what he wants?
It's like that Kanye lyric, no one man should have all that power.
All right, Han, go ahead, because we're running out of time.
This is what G touched on. I said that at the beginning. But it was all about seeing all the other point guards get their shine. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie wanted his shine. He sees Steph. He sees Westbrook, he sees everybody.
John Wall,
even Harden getting shine
and Lillard.
Running point. And the key is that they get the ball when they want it, where they want it. And what he has to do, like I said, was wait till LeBron says, okay, now take the wrap off and let him go. But the issue that I had with the interview is Kyrie, to me, has gone to the Mamba school and just gone full Mamba.
Full Kobe.
I mean, he was answering questions like he was Kobe Jr.
Yes.
And it just got sickening to me. Right. I honestly, you came there to answer questions. If you weren't going to answer the questions, why would you show up?
Right.
And to me, for him, that would be like somebody coming in here. Right. And you said a bunch of crap and said nothing. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the interview, he went all around talking about where he was in life and all this kind of stuff, circumstance. And it was all from Kobe's book of logic.
Yes, it was.
And I'm a Kobe Bryant fan. But this was 100% Mamba.
Kobe
and
system.
Exactly. And it just, to me, it was sickening to sit there and listen to this crap. And he had total disdain for Max because he doesn't like what Max said about him being one-dimensional, being a ball hawk, doesn't like make anybody better.
Facts.
And he said those things.
Facts.
And he did come back and say, I want to be able to show that I can get my teammates and make them better. He did say that. But it's all about him being Kobe again. He even, look, he took the blueprint.
Bro, Kobe, he ain't no Kobe Bryant.
Kobe didn't want to be with Shaq.
True.
And he does not want to be with LeBron. He wants his own vehicle to drive his own car.
So now, are you going to win you two championships?
One good thing, he plays in the East, which is not a tough side.
He ain't going to beat LeBron.
And he's 25.
I don't know, man. We'll see. I'm not sold on Cleveland's team.
I'm sold on LeBron.
1 year older, though.
All right, question number five before we move to our SRT Power 10. Baseball season is ending, and season is coming to an end. I'm a big baseball fan, so I'm going to tell you guys what's going on, the top stories in baseball. If you've been living up under a rock.
I have.
Mr. Carlos Stanton. 55 home runs this year. The most home runs since 2001, I want to say. The last year, Barry Bonds is 62, I think. Aaron Judge, American League rookie, 45 home runs, 100 RBIs. National League, Corey Bellinger, 38 home runs, 88 RBIs. Rookies. Hancock rookies.
Rookies.
A rookie hitting 45 home runs. And he went through a slump after the All-Star break.
Right.
Still so had 45.
What is a steroid test? Because they set a record in home runs this year, right?
Matter of fact, the home run record is 5,694, the most ever, D. Will, trivia, ever.
Okay.
In baseball history.
And they've been playing baseball a long time.
They've been
time.
Playing baseball. Super long time.
Boy, they
and
had,
it's the most home runs.
They'd had the kids at the plate waiting on Sammy Sosa right now. Wow. Mm-hmm. But they don't say nothing about Bellinger and all these boys. I don't hear.
I think part of it is that every player is trying to hit home runs. There's not a lot of players who like hit for average or teams trying to manufacture runs. Like basically the stolen base, you're not going to see a Ricky Henderson steal 100 bases anymore. Right.
You won't
like
even see nobody steal 60, maybe 50.
Yeah.
But that's about
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's trying to hit home runs.
And the standings for the playoffs. Boston is leading in the East. Cleveland is leading in the Central. And another story is Cleveland had a 22-game win streak that was snapped by the Kansas City Royals this past week. 22 games, where they won 22 straight.
American League record.
Yes. Yeah, and it was like the longest was 28 in like 1900. So I'm doing a little something. I ain't too far off.
In Houston... Obviously, is the team in the West that's tearing things up. National League, Washington is winning the division, and the Chicago Cubs finally comes back, and they're leading the division by three and a half games.
I told you they would.
Yeah, you did. And the Los Angeles Dodgers, obviously, 96 games, the most in the league so far this year. And the wild cards, let's see, who we got in the wild card? The Brewers. And the Diamondbacks in the National League, and the Twins, and the Yankees. So the Yankees will probably be back in the playoffs, this year. Yeah,
but that's good for Rays. You know, they got a big following. So.
Big following.
And Cubs
and the Twins. Dodgers. Twins get back in the playoffs after being last year.
Yeah, you got the Yankees and the Red Sox making the playoffs this year. That's going to be big for baseball.
Yeah, big for baseball. All right, that'll wrap it up for our hot news. Now it's time to get to one of our favorite things. It's the SRT Power 10.
All college football polls matter? Not at the Sports Roundtable. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
All right, this week in your SRT Power 10, let's just do it like this. The top four remain the same from last week. We had Bama coming in at number one with a perfect score. We had Oklahoma coming in at number two. Penn State at three. And we had the Clemson Tigers at four. Yeah, that's what we had. I'm sorry about that. Let's see. At number five, I'm tripping all over the place. At number five, we had the USC Trojans. Well, I messed this up big time, y'all.
I got you.
Hold on. Here we go. Yeah, we did have. Penn State was four. Oklahoma State was five. Washington was six. USC was seven. Wisconsin was eight. Michigan was nine. And Ohio State was 10. Let's see. Things that we want to talk about from last week's poll. USC dropped two spots from five to seven. And Georgia was the only other team to garner any votes in our poll that didn't actually show up in the poll, but they did get recognized.
So Clemson actually is number two, right?
Three. What did I say on that one?
You said four at first.
I'm looking at the wrong, at last week's.
Your most recent one, Clemson at three.
I cleared it up.
Clemson at three.
Oklahoma, yeah, Clemson was three.
Okay.
Penn State four. Oklahoma State five. Washington six. Okay. USC seven. Wisconsin 8, Michigan 9, Ohio State 10.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so.
Sorry about that, fans.
Well, Oklahoma State showed a big.
Points, man. What did they put up, 56?
Yeah, they can score.
Well, 21 in the first quarter. 300-yard pass. Or was it 400 in the first half?
Yeah, he had 400 in the first half.
Okay,
exactly. Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
So Mason Rudolph.
Five touchdowns.
Not just.
First half.
So not just they moved up in the poll, he moved up in that Heisman thing. So the build for Oklahoma State and Oklahoma is going to be the game of the week. I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm. If they can continue to win.
Yeah.
That's bedlam.
Yeah. And then outside of the top 10, Mississippi State was unranked, moved all the way up to 17.
Yeah.
They play Georgia this week. Georgia is hanging out right outside of the top 10. If Georgia can pull this one off, they could possibly surpass Ohio State and some other teams down at the bottom of that top 10.
Well, you know, I love Oklahoma State, and I know we talked about it a little bit just then. But let's pump the brakes. They haven't played anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
This week, they'll at least face a defense in TCU that will hit you.
Right.
So this is really what I want to see. And as far as that Georgia and Mississippi State game, we might be looking at the team that will be facing Bama in the SEC championship out of that game.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that. I had the opportunity to jump into Sanford Stadium this weekend.
I saw you.
I got the opportunity to go watch my college basketball teammate, Derek Schmoolwright, now is an assistant coach at Sanford on the football team. Hooked me and my boy up with two tickets, so I got to go experience Sanford Stadium. And yes, I did go in there draped in a shirt that said, "Put me in the game, Coach Saban.
Oh, have mercy.
But I'm going to tell you like this. Nick Chubb is a beast. In person, he looks totally different than he looks on TV.
Really?
When he runs and he's determined to run, I believe he is unstoppable. I don't care who he's playing in the SEC. He is a beast when he wants to be. But that game this weekend between Mississippi State, I don't know if that game was hard to judge because I'm not sure what I should think of LSU.
You know what you're thinking, LSU. Let's come on.
It's true. But I had thoughts that they were going to be better under Orgeron. I didn't think they were a contender.
Right.
But I thought they were at least going to be competitive in the SEC West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not.
They're not.
I think the offense that Canada brought in, remember at Pitt, it took them about half a year before they understood what he was trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
With the athletes he has there, skill-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
If he ever gets them right and they understand the concepts of what he does, like Pitt last year, they could be a problem later on in the year.
Hey, can I give you something? Can I give y'all a little tidbit real quick?
That's Matt Canada,
offensive coordinator.
I had real consideration putting Clemson number one in my poll this week.
Wow.
I had real consideration.
And you can't even go home.
Yeah. Hey, it was real.
It's a first aid kit.
I know that.
Around the corner.
Yeah. Remember the kid?
Defibrillator.
Hey,
defibrillator.
You remember the kid I was talking about testing Sammy with? You need to test D with.
You know I'm a fail. You know it.
Hey, man, we got to go to commercial break. We get back, we're going to give our Falcons report. And a lot more. You listen to Sports Roundtable and SRT Crew, srtradio.com. Brandon Harris said, what's up, 2D Will?
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Okay, so where do more Americans turn first in the morning to start their day? Go on, tell them, Robin.
Good morning, America.
George.
Good morning, America.
Lara.
Good morning, America.
So, take it from Robin.
Put some good in your morning.
With ABC's Good Morning America.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Pizza Hut has a large two-topping oven-hot pizza for just $7.99 when you order online. The best deal in delivery. No one-out pizza's the Hut. Delivery minimums and fees may apply. Additional charge for extra cheese, stuffed crust, and additional toppings. Product availability, prices, participation, and delivery areas may vary. The delivery charge is not a driver tip.
Sports Roundtable.
What would you do if you had a twin? What prank would you do if you had a twin?
I'd be cool if vacation time. If I, you know, you need a couple days. Hey, look, bro. Give me the day. Give me this weekend. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would be cool. The wives would probably be in trouble. I wouldn't do it to wives, but the girlfriends would be in trouble.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable. Back at the SRT Crew. We on AM 1100. Shout out to WRN, our folks up there in Pennsylvania. Shout out to the ATL crew. ATL is where we represent. We over here, sitting high over Atlantic Station. Call it the penthouse, baby. SRT penthouse. We are here. Give us a call, 404-603-8770. Shout out to my main man, D. Will, for his dominating commercial, Real Talk Tees. Boy, you moving up in the world.
Hey. I see you, baby.
Real Talk Tees. He's getting his mood on, I guess.
Yeah, getting my mood on.
Getting the mood on. But speaking of mood, Falcons played this week. First game in the Benzo, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Did it look kind of empty to you around the third quarter?
People had to get home, get ready for
it. No. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was the Los Angeles Lakers effect or the Miami Heat effect. It's so many attractions in the building that for halftime, they go do a lot of stuff. Halftime only 15 to 18 minutes.
Right.
They're not back in their seats by the time the third quarter started.
Right.
Now, if you look mid-third quarter, you saw some people back, but at the beginning of the third quarter, you see number red seats. I was like, boy, this is a bad look.
That's a bad look.
That's a bad look.
Yeah, man. I was like, ooh, but.
They probably waiting on Chick-fil-A, though.
They were standing in line.
Another drop.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
Oh, my goodness. All right, anyway, the Falcons did win. Falcons are 2-0 on the season. And we're going to give our Falcons report brought to you by Real Talk Tea.
Hey.
Surf for every mood. RealTalkTea.BigCartel.com. Falcon has some injuries. Beasley will be out for at least a month. Ryan Schrader, the tackle, right tackle, he's out this week with a concussion protocol effect. So how does that moving forward affect the Falcons?
Well, what I see, what I'm worried more about is the offensive line, because they had a cohesive unit last year. I don't think they missed a start last year.
They didn't miss a snap.
So that's the part that will really kind of give me a, you know, a, some kind of pause about, mm-hmm. about the situation. As far as the defense, what Quinn has done is integrated the defense to have them a lot of interchangeable parts.
Right.
So I think he'll be able to cover for, you know, for a while with Beasley being out. I think he'll be able to get pressure. You know, he was I'm not going to say he was situational, but his snaps weren't like he was every down.
Right, right, right.
So I think he'll be able to, like I said, with the way he runs the defense, he has a lot of players that are similar, that play multiple positions. I think they'll cover with that. Now, offensive line is a group, like I said, that you have to have cohesion with. And a lot of times those guys know, okay, I'm blocking this way or whatever. So let's say an assignment gets missed.
Right.
Like you're supposed to block down and you block out. You leave some free rusher. And, you know, Matt might be out next week. So that's a problem. So if anything kind of gives me cause to pause, it's the offensive line situation.
D-Will.
I'm going to give you four names. Poe, Jarrett, Reed, McKinley. Defensive line. Those are going to be the four most important players going forward with Vic Beasley being out. They're going to have to step up. Tack McKinley, the rookie out of UCLA. We all know. We've been screaming his name the entire preseason. Everybody has been. And you saw him last week.
He
didn't get a sack, but he did get a hit on Aaron Rodgers. So with Vic Beasley going out, we're gonna have to. His snaps are gonna have to increase.
Yeah, increase
I think he's only played 15 snaps in the first game, and I think he got somewhere around 25, almost 30, in the second game. So those are gonna increase. How is his productivity gonna stay the same as his snaps increase because his role is increasing? And also, we've seen Brooks Reed. Now that he's healthy,
he got 3 sacks already.
He has really stepped up and has been in the backfield a lot. Now with a lot of that attention rolling away from Big Beasley, can they now roll that towards Brooks Reed, and he can't blitz as much? Will Don Terry Poe, who has been a wrecking ball in the middle of that defensive line, can he continue to hold that line where they're not concentrating on the outside? They may be able to roll coverage or what am I trying to say?
Not there? Coverage,
but roll protection towards the middle.
Slide the protection
towards the middle, and now because they don't have to worry about Beasley on the outside, so it's going to be up to those four. And Grady Jarrett's just been playing great. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so,
no doubt.
So if they can continue, yeah, I think so also. That's what I'm saying. But if they can continue to have that type of production with Vic Beasley going out, I think they'll be just fine.
And don't forget about Adrian Claiborne, Jack Crawford.
Exactly. I couldn't name everybody.
Derek Shelby.
Yeah,
a lot of those guys play multiple positions. That's
right,
I mean.
And that's the thing. Because Claiborne got a sack on the
outside.
Yeah. You know, you can move Jack Crawford inside as well to give Poe a break, you know, maybe on run.
And that's the thing about that defense. They have the personnel. They can go 3-4 or they can go 4-3 and really not miss a beat.
And let's not forget about Devondre Campbell, who also had a sack. He's going to be more of a rushing linebacker in this part of his career.
And that secondary is looking very good.
Does Poole look like he got bigger this year?
He does look a little fat.
Bigger,
he looks
bigger,
man. He looks fat, man. Stop it. He looks fat.
Right.
Yeah. Go on, say it. Let's keep it real. He looks a little chunky.
Some of us are sensitive to that word.
I'm sorry.
Maybe his shoulder pads are bigger.
Yeah, he changed. He got on a rib protector. Y'all remember them old school blue rib protectors?
It just looked like, you know, he does look like he's a little big. He looked small last year.
Yeah, but he will hit you.
He brings it.
Yeah, he brings will it. Hit you.
But all the Falcons hit.
Yeah.
They hit.
So if you look at the polls of the NFL rankings and things of that nature, and let's not talk about folks out in L.A. and on the West Coast, because obviously they don't give us no props or no credit. But either we are 1 and 2 in the power polls, and I just want your thoughts on, we'll start with you, G-Money, along with Kansas City, the team that you picked, you know, opening night, do you think we deserve 1 and 2 at this point in this short season so far?
I think it's deserved. I mean, it's probably...
By default, maybe?
Well, yeah, I mean, not just by being 2-0, but the way that they won these two games. With the first game, like I said, if Chicago had a better quarterback, they might have won the game. But still, they didn't have to put up a lot of points, and it was really their defense. And, you know, a couple of lucky things happened, but still, they didn't have to rely so much on the offense scoring a whole lot of points.
Right.
In this second game, they did score a whole lot of points, but they made a lot of key plays on defense that Desmond Trufant, you know, heads up to pick up the ball, even though it could have been ruled incomplete or whatever. Getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers, making them one-dimensional. He threw 50 times.
Yeah.
So they don't have to – you might not see the high-powered offense that they were last year, one, because of a new coordinator, so there's going to be some changes, but the defense has gotten better. So they're going to be a more balanced team. And because of that, I mean, it's deserved if they're ranked that high.
Okay. Ham, your thoughts on it?
Rankings at this time of year and so early in the season, kind of hard to even judge by. Right. I'm just looking forward to this game, the matchup with Detroit, because Detroit looks like a good football team this year. And a little foreshadowing, take the over. I think it's going to be a shootout. Yeah. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Matt Stafford, for all the flack I gave him, looks like he is – he's deserving of his money. Mm-hmm. He's playing well. And Detroit now is a little more multifaceted. They have a lot of receivers that they go to. But we're talking about the Falcons. Let's worry about picking that game later. But looking at what the Falcons have done, they do look like one of the class teams in the NFC. NFC, I'm sorry. So I don't know if they're the one or two best, but you don't take long to call the Falcons' name if you're talking about one of the quality teams in the NFC right now.
Right. D?
I'm going to tell you like this. If, and only if, there's no valid rankings in the NFL after 2 weeks. I'm just going to say it like that.
Okay.
You really can't – I understand you have a power ranking, but you have teams start out 0-2. Turn out being 10-6. All right. You have teams start out 2-0, going 8-8.
Yep.
Just like the Falcons started out 5-0 a couple seasons ago.
And
the wheels came off. So in college, I understand rankings because it comes down to who makes the Final Four in the end. Where you were ranked throughout the season matters in a cumulative form. In the NFL, rankings don't matter in a cumulative form. They don't matter at all, actually. They're just talking points, basically, because what matters is wins and losses and who gets in the playoffs. So I believe the Falcons are the best team in the NFL right now today.
Wow. That's a big statement.
They look the best. They look they're better on defense.
And see, but that's how you just like you said. But last week they could have easily lost to Chicago.
They could have.
So it's
but that's
it's
a road game. It's hard to win on the road.
And one thing I will say, you don't want the Falcons on turf.
No.
Yeah.
You can see that. Now, if they're on grass,
yeah,
but on turf,
greatest show.
You
right
really
now.
Don't
yeah.
want them.
Yeah, you don't want them. Let's just say, if you had to say for right now, the Falcons could probably be a win total. Give me a win total for the Falcons right now as you see them play. And understand that each game is game plan by game plan. You know, me personally, I don't think that they actually game plan for Chicago. They was game planning for Green Bay the whole offseason, in my opinion.
Who do they play outside of the – what division do they play this year?
AFC West? No. No, NFC West. Whoever Chicago's
That's the NFC North.
The NFC North.
And the AFC East.
They play the East. So
they play the Bills.
Yeah, so I mean,
Miami. That's three wins, right?
Yeah,
at least three.
They got New England coming up.
New England may be a problem. Three. Yeah, New England may be a problem. They should beat Buffalo. And it's hard to just, these are professional teams.
Yeah. That's what I said.
But if you look at it, if you want a win total that I give you, I say between 11 to 12 games, somewhere in there. Okay. I think the win total will be.
Your thoughts?
Oh, I'm giving Falcons 12. I'm willing to go as high as 13 wins. And the only reason I won't, I'm going to stay at 12 and I won't go 13 is because I'm still a wait and see on Carolina.
Right. How about Tampa, too?
I believe in Tampa. I believe we're going to split with Tampa. That's my point. Okay. I believe we're going to split. But I think Carolina, is they're 2-0 right now, but they hadn't showed me anything to scare me.
Cam lost his safety.
But he has to play his way into shape.
Yeah.
Because he didn't play in the preseason. And see, well, we're going to get into it later.
Yeah.
But I think that he'll round into it. So even though I dropped him on my fantasy.
All right, G, what's your win total?
I think they should. I'm looking at 11-5. Like I said, looking at when they, how's it going to be when they play Tampa, which isn't until the first game is after Thanksgiving. So they play them twice over 4 weeks. So those two games will be important. But 11, I'll be surprised if they don't reach 11 wins.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm with y'all. 11-12 wins, I think. We should do it. So 11-12 wins, I think, would do it. And
my Facebook listener says the Chiefs number one, Falcons two right now. That's right from Marty.
Yeah. So Chiefs look good, but we go get to
Alex Smith, though. He's still their quarterback.
Yeah, we go get to that in our roundtable. Boy, Alex Smith don't get no love.
None.
One overall pick.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, G, let's get to these bottles and buzzers, man.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Ballers and busters. Sports Roundtable this week. Man, it's a lot of ballers out there this week, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can roll call this one, to be honest with you. We'll do some honorable mentions once everybody go around. I'm gonna do D. Will a favor this week. I'm gonna name something that everybody recognize. I'm going with the Purdue Boilermakers. They gave Missouri a whip stick. Coach Jeff Brohm has come to Indiana, and they put up 35-3 on Missouri after Missouri put up 70 points the week before. So I'm going my baller, Purdue Boilermakers, mostly because unexpected. Come out of nowhere. It's no way, Han, that we could have even saw that coming.
Yeah, with getting rid of Darryl Hazel was good. I think that was the head coach. That was the best move that they made.
All right, so that's my baller. Go ahead. With
my baller is the Mississippi State Bulldogs, baby. Stark Vegas.
Stark Vegas.
Yes, sir. LSU went down there and got the nice game put on. Look, man, Fitzgerald is legit. And I said that last year he was a good quarterback.
He did.
He's coming on, and he's starting to understand what Dan Mullen is doing. The offense put up some numbers this past week. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little later if we do. If not, whatever. But they're well over, I think, 500 yards a game or close to it and limiting people to about 300. I think they've given up an average of 9 points a game.
Yep.
So overall, the team is not just winning. They're winning decisively.
Decisively.
And they're my baller right now, Mississippi State Bulldogs. Now, I don't know if they're ready for the top people, but they're ascending. They're a team on the rise.
All right, D-Weezy.
My baller for this week, I'm going with Anthony Miller of Memphis.
Big time!
Uh-oh.
Hey, I knew you was going to get crumped.
Let's go Memphis.
Listen, Anthony, wide receiver at Memphis, number 3. Former walk-on. Now NFL prospect. Okay? He has, man, listen. If you didn't watch the UCLA game this weekend, he was toasting their secondary for 9 catches, 185 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That is torching. And for them to come out and get that big win over UCLA, and I got to get, listen, I got a couple honorable mentions also, and I know we're going to come back to them at the end, but my 1B, the ball of the week, Josh Rosen. Dude balling. I don't care what nobody say. Josh Rosen, listen.
Y'all can have
34 for 56. 463. 4 touchdowns. Gavin, listen.
Sell.
Dude is. Listen, if you go by numbers, if you go by numbers alone, you can't deny. He didn't put up 1,000 yards in 2 games.
Hey, Big Mike on Facebook say, man, way to get his Memphis Tigers some love.
Yeah, it is. Hey, it is.
Listen, Anthony Miller, wide receiver Memphis, deserves it.
All right, cool. All right,
I got more.
All right, G, who you balling for the week?
Well, I did have Nick Fitzgerald. 4 total touchdowns and a surprise win over LSU. Just wasn't expecting that.
They wouldn't listen to me.
Also go with, because I watched a little bit of this game, this from the NFL, Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Big 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and an interception.
Wow. Yeah.
He won defensive player of the week too.
Right.
KC Bam.
So he pretty much beat Philadelphia by himself.
Yep. All right. So my buster. I need everybody on Facebook Live and everybody listening on AM 1100 and listen on SRTRadio.com. Pull your ears in and listen to me closely. My bust of the week, Colin Cowherd.
Ooh, Cowherd.
He actually said that Matt Ryan is Andy Dalton in the dome.
So
much disrespect.
Yep. Sure did.
This guy just won MVP.
No way. It's, oh my.
See, this is why KD got an this off is, on Twitter. Matt Ryan need to get one.
Hey, man, listen. How disrespectful can you get? After Andy Dalton throws 4 interceptions, Matt Ryan hadn't thrown an interception since the Kansas City game. He has 21 touchdowns since then.
21-0.
No
picks.
Picks.
And an MVP, you call award. Him
an MVP award.
Right.
And a Super Bowl appearance.
And you call it. And the Dolphins never won a playoff game. Oh, you know, this is what I.
That's that national bias.
Yeah, but he, all that West Coast. No, and this.
But it's certain organizations and teams that they just disregard, period. They already check them out. Atlanta can't win.
Well, you know what?
And that's what it is.
Cowherd.
Turd.
He going to be the buster for the year.
Oh, he on butter them bust.
For making that statement. Mm-hmm. My other buster honorable mention, Josh Allen, you have sunk. So far. Quarterback for Wyoming.
Yeah.
Told y'all he was.
Jared Stidham.
You said him.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. Josh Allen sucks.
Yep. And they ranked
64 him. Yards passing.
The next, they say he's the number one prospect coming out.
Wow.
Hold on. This is my.
Before the season started.
Yeah. This is the thing. Listen how crazy this is. That's why folks need to listen to our show.
Yeah.
They said Josh Allen could be the number one pick, and they got Mason Rudolph as a third round quarterback.
Yep.
I told y'all about those Mountain West quarterbacks. Don't trust them.
Don't trust. Hey, G Money said it. Don't trust them.
All right, Hancock. I'm off my soapbox.
All right. Well, let me step down. Let me get up there.
Low roll. Take the low roll.
My busters
Ooh.
Are the organizations of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Indianapolis Colts, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Chicago Bears. You won't get Colin Kaepernick. You won't give him a chance.
You left the Jets out of that.
The Jets. Yeah, put them up there too.
And the Minnesota
Colin
Vikings.
Don't want to play for the Jets.
But I'm just saying, you will not give this man an opportunity to play for your franchise when you have a horrendous situation at quarterback. Mm. None of these quarterbacks can play. Mm. But I heard all in the offseason that Colin doesn't fit the offense. Well, what do these quarterbacks fit the offense? Colin can't play. What, can they play? Colin doesn't want to play. Do they want to play? Because I can't tell. I really can't tell. This is the most asinine thing in the world for them not to give this man a job because he sat down for the national anthem. To spite your face and cut your nose off with these quarterbacks, yeah, you deserve a bust.
All right, D-Will.
Well,
I don't know if you can you go behind them too?
Yes. Yes. My buster for this week, the LSU Tigers. The LSU Tigers were ranked number 12 in the nation, number if I'm 12. Not mistaken.
Yeah.
Correct? They go into Mississippi State, who was unranked, correct?
Absolutely.
And lose 37-7. You get beat by 30 points by Mississippi State.
Stark Vegas.
They went to Stark Vegas and had a Las Vegas type time the night before the game. Okay? Because we all know LSU's quarterback play has been horrific for years and years and years. And shout out Brandon Harris, North Carolina. He's still sorry. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. LSU should be ashamed to be considered the second best team in the SEC West. Okay? So if they're the second best team in the SEC West, we might be right. The ACC probably is the best conference in the country this year.
Mm.
Because it is hard for me to sit there and say that Mississippi State is one of the best teams in the West. I just don't see it as a collective team. Quarterback gets his props. He is a potential Heisman candidate. He's moving up the ranks. But to say that they are a contender and you go on the road and lose by 30 points, that's my bust of the week. Ed Orgeron, they're going to be calling for his head after 1 year if the trend continues and they lose another game in this manner.
All right, G, who you got for your bust?
All right. I don't know how D. Will feel about this, but my buster of the week is A.J. McCarron.
Oh, damn. What do you do?
So, of course, if you watched the last Thursday's game with the Bengals and the Texans, Andy Dalton didn't play all that well. In fact, he was hot garbage.
To say the least.
So people are saying, well, like, is Andy Dalton done? Like, why is he playing so bad? So A.J. McCarron, the backup quarterback, his backup quarterback comes and defends him, saying, I wish people in the city would back Dalton and go with it. Listen, I think I'm a great quarterback, and I think he's an unbelievable quarterback. I love him to death. Okay, like in every NFL city, right? Isn't the backup quarterback the most popular guy in town?
Yes. Yeah.
If I'm the backup quarterback and the starter's playing terribly, I'm not saying anything to inspire him. Well, at least not in public.
You know what
because
that is?
I might get a chance to play.
That's a game.
No. But you know what that is?
But
no,
if
no.
Andy Dalton's so much better than A.J. McCarron, what's A.J. McCarron doing in the NFL?
A.J. McCarron don't care. A.J. McCarron got a super bad wife, and he's making over $1 million
he don't
a year
wanna, he don't
to
play.
Carry the clipboard.
He don't want to play.
Listen, do y'all remember that? I don't know if y'all ever saw that show that came on FX. I think it was FX, called like Blue Mountain State.
Yeah.
Listen, he is that backup quarterback. That is A.J. McCarron.
He don't want to play.
I'm getting $1 million check, and I don't have to play. I'm good.
There it is. All right.
Can we go honorable mention? Because I got like two.
Yeah.
Quick.
Real quick. Go ahead.
All right. My honorable mention, baller. This came from Facebook Live from my man, Tay. And it's going to pain me to say. Cam Petway of Auburn. 34 carries, 128 yards, 3 touchdowns. All right. That was awesome. And bust of the week, Sean White, quarterback, Auburn. He's so mad that he can't get on the field at the garbage Gary Stenham. He went out and got drunk, got caught, and got arrested the night of the game. And guess what? He has subsequently been kicked off the team. No, not left. He got kicked off.
He got kicked off. Yeah. They lost another guy, a five-star recruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm going to give Auburn some props, I'm going to take it right back.
All right. Also, honorable mention, Dabo Swinney. We've already talked about it. Dabo Swinney can coach, and he has shown that he can do it. Also, honorable mention, Willie Taggart of Oregon. Oregon is back.
You think they back?
You gonna say they back or they looking good?
They looking good.
Oregon, baby, what up, Jewel?
Yeah, they looking good.
Hey, we got to vote for Donald Trump, Buster of the Week. trying again to dismantle Obamacare.
Rocket man.
All right, man. That's going to do it for our Ballers and Busters, man. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, got the Rain Man picks, and we also got that roundtable discussion. And we go kind of decide who's the worst team in the league right now, the Colts, the Bengals, or the Giants. Woo! Yeah. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Hinkville, AM 1100. Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap. What's up, Sports Roundtable listeners? This is Greg, a.k.a. G-Money, a.k.a. the man behind the glass for the SRT crew. Now, do you have a podcast or radio show you want to take to the next level? Are you a DJ looking for that special voice for your drops during your set? Are you looking for some narration for that big presentation? Do all of these apply, but you're on a budget? Well, come see me at Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. I can do all of these and more, just starting at $5. That's it, $5. I know you got $5. So stop by Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. That's GREGHURD. Check out my demo and hit me up with an order so we can make that presentation, that pod, that drop really pop. Who knows? Maybe I can help you make a better show than Sports Roundtable. But don't tell the crew I said that, okay? Just that's what it is. Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. Hit me up and I hope to hear from you soon.
Sports Roundtable.
Whoever discontinued Save-A-Lots. Those are the shortbread cookies with the chocolate on the back, the extra big ones used to say Save-A-Lot. Yep. Whoever discontinued that, I'm going to take your badge. Mm. All y'all little Girl Scouts selling them cookies on the corner. I'm going to walk up and I'm going to take your badge if you ain't got no Save-A-Lots. I'm going to kick your table over. I'm going to crush your Thin Mints. I'm going to lick all the coconuts off your Samoas. Get my doggone Save-A-Lots back. Get me my Save-A-Lots.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
T crew.
Whoa.
SRSRSRSRT. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man, with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Bleed it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio. Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? Sports Roundtable, we're back. Hour number two. SRT crew is in the building. HO, sports superhero Hancock, D-Will, the coach, and G-Money behind the glass, dropping them beats. And thanks for tuning in for another banger. First hour was popping, and I'm pretty sure Colin Cowherd got unfollowed plenty of times tonight because he is the buster of the year as far as I'm concerned. So, but we got to get our main man on the phone. G, we straight with him. All right. So, we gave y'all some picks last week. My main man, Slick Money, went 2-1. He's back again this week, giving his Rain Man picks of the week.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
Well, get ready, because it's time for the Rain Man's picks of the week.
My main man, Slick Money, is on the phone. Rain Man, you got the coldest intro around town. Slick, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good, bro. How you doing?
I'm good, man. We
Slick
him,
Money.
We're him trying to make some fruit cups. Action go on. Last week you went 2-1. And D-Will been giving your Memphis folks some props, man. Anthony Miller, wide receiver for Memphis. D-Will say he is the thing. So what you think?
He is pretty good. Him and Ponder. I think that Memphis surprised me last week by beating UCLA, and that was my only loss. But Memphis looked good. I was impressed with them.
There you go. So at least if you go lose the game, at least let your hometown win, right?
Say what now?
I say if you go lose the game, let your hometown beat you then, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if I'm gonna lose, I'd rather lose to my hometown. I totally agree with you on that.
All right, so Slick, all right, give us your lock for this week.
All right, my lock of the week, I'm going to the NFL.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys. I think Dallas Cowboys weren't prepared last week, so I think this week they will be. I think they are going to Arizona,
right?
And I think they'll beat Arizona by 3.
So it's -3?
Yeah, Arizona Arizona is getting 3, but yeah, take the Cowboys -3.
Okay, good deal. That's a lot. That's Monday night, I think, right?
No, Sunday night
Sunday
game.
Sunday night game. Okay, yeah, I knew it was a prime time. All right, cool. All right, what is your game, your blowout game, a game that's just going to – don't even worry about it. You'll win as soon as they step on the field.
Okay, I'm going to college, and I'm going across country. I'm heading to Nevada. I guess that's where Boise – is it Boise located in Nevada?
Yeah, in Idaho.
Yeah, Boise in Idaho.
Okay. That's close enough.
Yeah. hey, Slick, once we get across the Mississippi, we don't know what's out there.
There you go. I want to take Boise State -13 and give Virginia all what they need. I think Virginia going cross country. I think Boise State going to take them behind the woodshed, and they might beat them by at least 20.
Golly.
Is actually, that -13, you said?
Yeah. Slick, actually, that was my lock of the week, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so that's Boise State -13.
Virginia, they don't play good on the road. All right,
that's on the blue field now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. They got to get their quarterback situation together, but I think on that blue turf, I don't know if Virginia can hang with them. But go ahead, give us your upset of the week.
My upset of the week, I'm going to the ACC. I think North Carolina goes in and beat Duke. I think it's North Carolina getting 3. I think they just win straight out. But I'll take the 3 points.
UNC +3. He said they go straight out win. All right, Slay, you got any bonus games that you'd like to tell us about? I know you got hidden up under your pillow somewhere or something like that.
Oh, yeah, you can always get some extra cupcakes because the kids be hungry. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something now. I like Baltimore Ravens playing against Jacksonville Jaguars. I want to say they're in London. But anyway, they could be in the parking lot of Coca-Cola. I think Baltimore Ravens beat Jacksonville. Jacksonville's bad. And the spread is Jacksonville plus 3.5.
What is it?
3.5,
yeah.
Okay.
And my last bonus pick, I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Falcons -3 against Detroit. Detroit coming out Monday night. I think the Falcons should at least win by 7 or more. So I like Atlanta Falcons to cover that spread.
All right, Slick. Well, we got them down, man. And we really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed yourself on your vacation. I hope you continue your retirement life and things of that nature. I'm pretty sure them fruit cups will be rolling up for you. Because we definitely trying to win some, man. We really appreciate it. You want to give a shout-out before you get off?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out. D, we a Roll Tide. I ain't hollered at you in a long time. Ken Folk.
What up, baby? Roll Tide, baby.
And Hancock.
What's up, man?
How about Hancock? How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys, baby? Hey, Sleep Money. How about them Tigers, though?
There you go. They did a good job. You did call
and,
it.
And Mississippi State.
they looked great, dog.
Okay, all right,
I think Georgia win that game this weekend, though.
Yeah, right, I'm with you, Slick. Yeah, okay.
Hey, I'm going to give you a shout on the way. Hey, I don't know. Are you in town? I don't know. You know.
Yeah, where you at?
I don't know where
you
at. Are you in Vegas yet?
Yeah, no, I'm in town. I ain't went to Vegas. When I go to Vegas, y'all going to know.
I did. So you in town?
Yeah, he in town.
All right, man.
Hey, I'm going to hit you up on the way in.
Okay, bro. I appreciate y'all, man. Love you guys.
All right, man. Hold down, Slick.
All right. My main man, Slick Money, Rain Man, with his picks. Dallas is his lock. UNC is his upset pick over Duke. Blowout, Boise State over Virginia. And the bonus is Baltimore and Atlanta. So we'll see what we can do with those. Yeah, we'll see what we can do with those things there. And real quick, we're going to give our picks. Actually, I was going to go with Boise State over Virginia myself, but I guess I could pick another one. I'll take the over. Well, the over for Houston and Texas Tech.
What is it?
I think it's 60. Let me find out first.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Let hand go while
My pick of the week will be the Georgia Bulldogs at home getting 5 against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Well, as my boy
Brent, plus 5?
Yeah. As my
at home?
Yeah. As my man. I think that's what I saw. Didn't I see it at that?
Hold on.
Didn't Georgia get 5?
Let me check on that.
No. 5.5? No. Georgia minus 5.5.
I thought they were getting the 5.
Nah, they
I looked at that wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, Georgia at home, they a higher seed.
Okay, well, my lock will be the Falcons, Detroit, over whatever it is.
Okay.
Misread that Georgia game. I thought Georgia was getting the points.
All right, D-Will, who you going with?
Oh, I'm going to tell you like this. Last week, I'm going to give Vanderbilt their props for beating, who they beat, Kansas State?
Kansas State, yeah. Their defense is...
Listen, that was a good win.
Mm-hmm.
But this linebacker who was interviewed after the game came on camera with a whole bunch of sassiness. And when I say sassy, 2 snaps in a Z formation. Okay? He got a little Michael Sam in him.
Oh, man.
Oh. So, him to come out and say what he wanted to say about Bama, you're next. We're going in there to run it up on Vanderbilt. So, my lock of the week is Bama minus the 18.5. Take it, book it. I'm telling you, Vanderbilt will not score 10 points, and I guarantee you Bama's putting up 35.
Minus 18.5.
That is a lock all day, and tell him to go on with all that sassiness.
The Atlanta over is 50.5, and the Houston Texas Tech over is 71.
Yeah, that
I'm still going
most
over.
In the first half. Yeah.
IG, what, give me your pick for the week.
All right, going to the Big 12. Got number 6 Oklahoma State at home against number 16 TCU.
Ooh, -13.
Well, I'm doing. I got -13, but I will take the over.
Oh, okay.
71 point.
That's a lot of points.
Yes.
That's a lot.
If it's over 71, they're going to blow TCU out.
Yeah, because they're going to put up, they got to put up 50.
Well, looking at what TCU has done so far this season, I mean, they've only played Jackson Arkansas. State, Arkansas, SMU,
yeah.
But they've scored 63, 28, and 56.
Mm.
And with Oklahoma State, they played Tulsa, South Alabama, and Pitt, but they've scored 59, 44, and 59.
More importantly, how many has Oklahoma State given up?
24 against Tulsa, 7 to South Alabama, and then 21 against Pitt.
So TCU should put up some points.
Yeah.
At least 21 points.
Yeah. It's a good pick.
Yeah, it's a good pick. All right, so we've given y'all a plenty of picks to go with this week. I'm surprised D-Money didn't go with the NFL, as he probably won't even watch the game, but he would probably check the scores.
Yeah, I'll be on my fantasy.
You going to watch the Big 12 game?
Nah.
G don't like Big 12, boy.
He don't like college.
Don't play any defense.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. All right, man. So now it's time to get into some real conversation, man. It's time to get into some conversation that it's time to get into. The roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new pre-owned or used car, please go over to our friends at Jay's Used Cars, 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia, not Lawrenceville, Georgia, 384. If you mention Sports Roundtable SRT, get a 10% discount on your down payment. Go to jaysusedcars.com.
Facts.
Check out the inventory. All right. I did forget to mention the Falcons center, Alex Mack, won Offensive Player of the Week.
At center.
That got to be the first time in history.
He was smash mouthing now. He was moving.
That lets you know how the game has changed. Because this is what they said. Out of 32 pass attempts, he allowed no pressures up the middle. That's why he won Offensive Player of the Week.
I'm saying, isn't that a collective? collective stat?
Did Mike West ever win?
Well, they didn't allow anything on the edge, because I didn't hear Clay Matthews be called at all.
Not one time. Was he even in the game?
Go ahead, OG.
That was from Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus.
Where they look at the any kind of numbers you can think of as far as the NFL goes.
So that means a lot of them are made up.
Well, I don't know how to keep stats.
That's their own algorithms, yeah, and formulas and equations.
Say that word again, D.
Algorithm.
There you go. Make our show sound studious.
Yes, sir.
And Desmond Trufant won Defensive Player of the Week for obvious reasons.
He got a pick in the photo room.
And then on
the pick was nice.
Yeah. Then we talked about that was in the NFC. AFC, Chris Jones. G Money mentioned before, and I can't remember who did the offensive for the AFC.
Tom Brady.
Brady had to be.
Yeah, he cleaned up in New Orleans. But anyway, all right. So the question is, and we went into the season talking about this, and D Will alluded to him actually liking Clemson, at least coming around to that, and he's giving back the Auburn props. That's why the thing's on the floor.
Yeah, Auburn. Auburn just fell off the wall.
Yeah, just fell off the wall. So the question is Clemson for real this year? I mean, the way that they dismantled Louisville, and we broke that down, and now I think that maybe the TV time didn't help.
it showed some flaws.
You know what I'm saying?
Showed a lot of flaws.
I don't think
they were all on him, but
They're just not as good.
No, they're not.
But I think that before we left the show, I said the coaching experience with Dabo is going to be against the geniuses of the offensive guru-ness of Mr. Petrino and Action Jackson. And every time, Dabo has just seemed to come up with a game plan that works. It was total domination. And if you follow me on Facebook, it was story time in the third quarter for me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Clemson looks good. Don't get me wrong. I think they look great.
Now, before you move on, Clemson, we used to have this phrase, Clemson is go Clemson.
Clemson, right.
That was 3 years ago. They hadn't Clemson yet.
Bro, they only won one title.
But they went to the title game twice.
But let's look back at last season. They could have stubbed their toe easily a couple times. They got out.
Yeah.
And they should have lost. They should have lost the NC State game. They probably should have lost the Louisville game.
Right.
And they did lose the Pittsburgh game, correct? Then who's they lose to? Was it Pittsburgh or was it? Yeah,
that's what it was.
And then they had a hard one with, wasn't it Carolina playing well also?
Yeah.
I think so. So last year, this year's team might be better top to bottom than last year. I think Watson covered a lot of stuff up.
Right.
Now, as far as them Clemson, and they got away with not killing themselves last year. But this year, let's look at it. The team they played in Auburn, if Auburn had any semblance of offense, they could have pulled a game out.
Yep.
Auburn defense played well the whole game. And they have a good defense. So I'm just not ready to, as they say, crown there. I'm not ready to crown them yet because I want to see them play quality opponents. Louisville, to me, was more Jackson and fluff than actual substance. And I think we kind of fell in thinking that, I had no idea, thinking that Lamar would be able to cover up a lot of things and help them get past, and he wasn't able to. But I'm not ready to crown Clemson yet. I do put them, I think this team, top to bottom, not going in and just relying on Watson. They play as more of a unit, as a team.
More balanced.
Right. And I think Bryant has been a pleasant surprise, Kelly Bryant, quarterback. Now, what he does in those clutch moments that we saw Watson excel, we'll see. Because eventually, rubber going to hit the road.
Yeah, he wasn't in trouble this year.
Right. And we're going to have to see if he can make the play to continue the streak. We'll see what happens. But I'm not ready to crown him yet. The ACC is kind of down. He probably has a couple of hornet nests to go into, but we'll see once they play a quality opponent, a team with offense and a good defense. Let's see what happens.
I think Clemson is – I see them as a contender. I think the game against Louisville showed that, like, okay, it was 47-21, but it was over in the third quarter, like you said.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson got a lot of garbage time numbers. I think Clemson won based on what they have been to where we see where they have so much talent, which is they just have a ton of speed. just a ton of speed. And you would think it would be it's at the skill positions. It's at running back. They had a running back, a true freshman, come in, and it was like his first or second carry. He goes for an 81-yard touchdown. So they have depth at running back and speed there. A lot of speed on defense. They contain Lamar Jackson a lot, not letting him get too many big plays off. And like I said, they scored two of their touchdowns in the fourth quarter when it was pretty much over. So they have the team that they have always had to where they traditionally had. But I think the Dabo Sweeney has learned some things, like don't do what Tommy Bowden did. Or whoever their other coach was, I think he's finally learned from them.
Yeah,
and gotten it together.
All right, D. You make sure we record him, right?
Right.
Okay.
This is for all the listeners. Clemson's definitely a contender. All right, I'm gonna give them that much, but I will say this: Dabo Sweeney has built the Clemson Tigers in the mold of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And it all starts up front. He has been recruiting that defensive line over the last three to four years. I'm going to say five because they put two first-round defensive ends in the NFL back-to-back years.
And two linebackers. Don't forget about four for Kansas City.
Exactly.
And Beasley.
And Boulware.
And
Boulware got cut.
Yeah, he did.
Well, he made it.
He got a cup of coffee.
He got a cup of coffee. Okay, he was good in college.
Yeah.
He was a very good college player.
He wanted to cough up in the microwave. Yeah. It cooled off quick.
Yeah.
See, and that's why I don't get nobody else props. But yeah, Clemson is definitely a contender. And They're very shocking. And I made a comment earlier. I considered putting them number one in my rankings this week. Now, I will say this, and I have to give my disclaimer. My ranking is not cumulative. It goes week to week. Okay? It's not over what you did over time, what you did last week. Last week comes into consideration, but it's not the end-all, be-all factor. If you play bad 1 week, you will fall, okay? Even if you're still undefeated. That doesn't matter to me. Okay. So, I believe that so far this year, Clemson has better wins than Alabama, okay? I don't think they're a better team. If they went head-to-head, I think Bama would win the game right now. But I think Clemson has better wins with the Florida State win. Don't get me wrong, is a good win. That's a very – but Francois went out. Florida State may not be what we thought they were this year. I think we may have overhyped them because of Francois. But I don't think that's as good of a win as it would have been if Florida State would have continued to play well going forward. So I'm going to give – I'm not saying Louisville's good, okay? Don't get me – but that's a road game. Florida State was a neutral site game. Okay, they went into Louisville and won that game.
And Louisville was looking for revenge
from last year.
With the
reigning Heisman Trophy winner,
knowing that they should have won or had a.
I respect all that, D, but Florida State team, top to bottom, better than what Louisville got.
And I totally agree, Alabama shut down
after the first quarter and a half when it was a game, and Florida State looked like they were going to be able to play with them. As we've seen with Nick, and I'm not an Alabama fan. I'm not on a bump for him, but I just tell you what I see all the time. He makes the adjustment to bring things in and take away what you do. And for the first part of the game, they were able to hit some passes or whatever, and he went a little bit over the zone, playing people back in the areas, and then Francois started throwing the ball to him. So, you know, even on the Minka Fitzpatrick, when he got beat on the man coverage, mm-hmm. Nick was smart enough to say, okay, we're not going to cover out there like that. So he started dropping safeties back and making Francois throw into areas.
Yeah.
And he threw it
throwing
the ball. And he wasn't hitting the window. He hit the window a couple of times, but that window got smaller and smaller.
As the game went on.
And he started to press and threw the ball to Bama.
And that's my point with Clemson, because they play similar style football right now. Because
they took away. They took away
Jackson. In that first half, he had nowhere to go.
Right.
He looked lost. He couldn't get his breakout runs when things break down.
The second possession, he did.
He did. He got a big run.
He got two open runs. Remember? And they scored on that possession. But then he took it away.
Adjustments.
Boom. Adjustments.
Took it away. Adjustments.
Next Bama coach.
All right. This going to be right up G-Money's alley. What about Kansas City Chiefs? Probably the most surprising team in the NFL at this point, highly because of the running back Kareem Hunt, running back out of Toledo. With what he's doing and the way Kansas City has played, do you think they can be a contender this year with how they are playing? And look like their division is pretty, pretty good with Oakland. Well, Los Angeles, yeah, they still in Oakland.
That AFC West and is Denver. the best division in football.
Ooh, hey, yeah.
It's the best division in pro football. The Chargers have lost two games.
By 5 points total.
And they are good.
Right.
You look at them on defense and what they have on offense with Rivers and what's the running back?
Gordon.
And the wide receivers they got.
Keenan Allen.
They have a good football team.
They do.
Denver is good.
Denver is good.
Offensively and defensively. The Raiders are good. Offensively and defensively.
With that being said.
In Kansas City, I don't even have to talk about them. You see how good they are.
Yeah. Exactly. Are they for real?
They are for real.
Are they contender?
They're contenders.
Even without Barry.
They're good at every level on offense and every level on defense. They have Peters out there on defense. In the back end, they have linebackers that run sideline to sideline. They have defensive line pressure from Houston and Ford.
Yeah,
they let Dontari Poe go.
They did,
and the defense still got back on offense. They let what's the kid's name that they got from
Jamal Charles?
No, Charles left, but I'm to the wide receiver that's in
Macklin.
Baltimore. Macklin left, and the offense has opened up even more. Mm-hmm. You look at they made Tyreek Hill. You have to pay attention to him on every play because he can score from anywhere on the field.
And they possibly got the best tight end in the best, game.
Exactly.
Arguably.
The best, because they use him in so many different ways. They use him on shelf.
Best pass catching tight end.
He took off. He runs the football.
And he runs.
And he runs. He can run out of the Wildcat. He ran and took off from the 5-yard line and landed about 3 yards deep in the end zone.
But it's telling you, like, last week, like, Andy Reid has the nerve to run a college style offense in the NFL.
Right. Yeah.
But that's why you see Kelce in the Wildcat.
So multidimensional.
Tyreek Hill all over the place. And that opens things up for Kareem Hunt. I think because of how they use their other players, that's why Kareem Hunt's been successful so far.
So what happens
able
with
to
the
pushing the ball exactly. down the field?
What happens with, you got to defend them deep, you got to defend them laterally. So they stretch you. And you got to defend at every level. That's what makes them so hard. And then with the quarterback, he's athletic enough. If things break down, that's a 7, 8, 10-yard game for him.
He can move the chain.
Right. So, I mean, right now, they're a problem.
They're a problem. D?
What else is there to say?
G-Mud already picked them against New England, so.
Yeah, and like I say, Kansas City is good. I still have the Raiders as the best team in that division.
They're good, too.
I really believe, like I say, preseason, I picked Atlanta and Oakland to be in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to stick to it until it doesn't happen. So, but now that with Hancock's breakdown, I agree. That division is the best division in football.
Best division in football.
Honestly, it's a shame that one or two of those teams will not make the playoffs.
Sure.
What look on the show notes and see what the game of the week is for the NFL.
You already know it, baby. There it is.
So, yep. I mean,
and that's, like you say, they can very well Sandy we Los Angeles Chargers.
I put San Diego on there, but
that's why you messed me up. You got me looking back. But no, the Los Angeles Chargers could easily lose that game at home and be 0-3. And they will by far be the best 0-3 team
in the league.
Probably in the league. Exactly.
Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt about it. All right, so let's get down to this real quick and we're going to come back and do some breakdown. But D. Will mentioned last week that the NFL didn't stand out to him. I saw some very, very bad quarterback play over the last couple of weeks. Some bad teams. We mentioned the Colts. Chicago, Hancock mentioned.
Yep.
We talked about the Bengals.
Arizona.
I mean, we can go on and on about that.
These are playoff teams from last year.
Yeah. And so it got me to thinking about the product of the NFL, and you get so juiced up and the expectation starts to run at the beginning of the season that when you actually look at the game, you're like, I don't think I was really expecting that. I don't expect Adrian Peterson to get 18 carries.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't expect him to. I mean, has he ran over 10 yards?
No.
Yet.
His longest run is 9 yards.
No, he got 9 the first yard. Yeah. First carry of the year.
Longest run of the year. Yeah. 9 yards.
And then you don't expect. And the, you know, you didn't pick Gurley early, but now he has over 100 yards probably. Had 136 last week.
Right. I thought he'd have a bounce back. Yes.
Yeah, and then you get Kareem Hunt, who fumbled the first play that he had, and now he's the offensive player of the week twice.
And Le'Veon Bell is stuck in the barn.
He can't get out. So I mean, you got all these expectations.
And stop. Let's not. I know these two won't say it, but Zeke Elliott getting eight yards on 9 carries.
9 carries.
Yeah.
That's 9.
So
you have to give him the football.
Yeah. So this is so my the question is the product of the game. Let's just talk about the product. And let me start off and we'll go try to make it quick. We're looking at all these things and you can see it. You know, we're talking about the name, Adrian Peterson. You know, now they're talking about either you go trade him or you go release him. You know, things of that nature. David Johnson goes out. He's gonna be out for a while. Right. Le'Veon Bell. 40-some yards the first week. He didn't go to camp. You know, Julio ain't caught a touchdown yet. OBJ
Cam Newton.
So when you look at all
Andrew
these
Luck
things.
Andrew Luck hadn't played yet.
Yeah, so when you look at all these things, you think the product is suffering.
Yeah.
The product is suffering. Let me go with this hand. One reason to me. Is that when you start to devalue the running back position is when all this goes away. Because we used to, we could name all the running backs for the teams back in the day. We was waiting. Even in a loss, it looks good. Barry Sanders, but Detroit, what they just played on Thanksgiving. They didn't really never go to the playoffs. But everybody, a few times. But
they won one game.
One game. But everybody tuned in to watch Barry Sanders. John Elway didn't even win a Super Bowl until Terrell Davis came. 2,000-yard run. It's the running back position is so tied to the quarterback position and the way the offense runs. Now we are preferencing just the quarterback with the receivers. It's almost like you kind of taking a piece of something out of the game that you so much need that we can't even get anymore.
But here's the thing. The teams that win value that position. Look at the Atlanta Falcons last year. They had two valued running backs who they actually gave the ball to. They made it to the Super Bowl. New England's different. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's an exception, so let's not get it twisted.
They still use their running backs.
They still use pass catchers. Exactly. Go ahead.
I take a different slant on why the product is so bad. I think it's because you don't hit anymore.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
With the preseason, none of your stars play in the preseason to get themselves in shape. You'll see the product get better as the season goes because they're playing games. They're actually getting physical. Mm-hmm. But when, just like the Canadian Football League, doesn't allow you to hit unless it's a game. And what has happened with all the politically correct things that are going on with the NFL, whether that be off-the-field stuff, whether that be soccer mom saying, I don't know if I want my son to play this. I mean, I'm being real. Football is a game that's about contact. And we just got through talking about the continuity on the offensive line.
Right.
Well, how are you going to have continuity and hit and know when to hit or whatever if you don't hit?
Right.
So without the physical nature of tackling and running, we could have a running back and have one, but if he doesn't get to play running back during the practice time, you know, and you can hear old coaches talk about it. They talk about it all the time. They said the problem is that there's no practice. There's no hitting anymore. And that's the issue with every level of football. You don't even see people rapping anymore. How many times we see big hits, you just come up and throw your body and slam it. There were fundamental tackles that you got your head across the bow, wrap, and drive through the tackle. That's not happening anymore. And it's all about taking away the contact nature of football. And I really can't say that that's really wrong, because if it was okay to hit, if this game was okay to be played, they wouldn't allow them just to play one time and hit one time a week. They legislate how many times you can take hits to the head, and it's a reason for that, because your head is not meant to be run into over and over and over. So that's what the problem is that the game is not going to be played in the way that we're accustomed to seeing it. You're not going to see the hits. They're legislating everything away. If you see a big hit now, it's an accident. Just like when a boy got hit the other night, quarterback from Green Bay. Remember the hit that he got from the Falcons?
Yeah, right.
It was an unexpected hit. He turned back and the hit was there. They don't allow those collisions anymore. Right now, an unprotected player, you get a penalty called on it. What's an unprotected player? What was unprotected when we were playing football? If the whistle wasn't blown, he was legally hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that lets you know, if they don't allow you to hit when it's not, the game is not counting, then that tells you this game really, something is wrong with them playing this game. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? It's something that they shouldn't be doing.
But think about your logic right now. And I agree with you. But the NFL needs to think about it like this. By limiting the amount of hits that you allow them to take in practice only increases the possibility for injuries because of lack of technique. Hitting is technique. It's nothing else. All right? It's about how you hit him, where you hit him, and in what position your body is when you hit.
when you make, you don't want to duck your head. You want to see what you get. You want to keep your eyes up. Blase, blah. All the stuff that they say when they're teaching tackling.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't limiting that amount of practice in practice time, wouldn't that raise the, increase the level of possibility of injury in a game when you're, we always say, you can't simulate game speed.
Exactly.
So if you're hitting in practice learning technique, when it comes game time, if you don't have that practice, and I understand these are professionals, these are grown men that have been playing this sport their entire life. I get it. But at that speed and at that veracity, they need to give him something.
But if practice wasn't important, he wouldn't have practice. See, that's what I'm saying.
We're talking about practice.
But they don't allow you to play games type practice.
Not anymore. A game. Not a game.
And that's why I suffer.
And this is another thing to add to that is the NFL is trying to stay away from the concussion lawsuit.
Exactly. That's what I mean by the soccer mom situation.
That's that because they've already given up so much money to older players.
Well, you got to understand, they shouldn't have lied about it in the beginning.
That's the problem.
That's
right
the
there.
Problem, right?
Because
there.
People would have kept, you hear them say, I'd have played anyway.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Don't lie to me and tell me that this was, you know, don't tell me it's hurting me.
Right.
You know, that's what you wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
But don't tell me, okay, you're able to go out there, nothing wrong with you. And then, you know, 10 Rough years down on. The line, I can't recognize my wife.
Well, how about, and I'm glad we're on this subject. How about the defensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins? 11-year veteran. His name is missing me right now.
Can't goes, wait.
Goes no. Goes AWOL.
Oh, Timmons. You play with
Seattle. Lawrence Timmons goes AWOL.
Steelers.
And I'm not. And this is all alleged. I don't want to speculate. But he goes AWOL prior to their game in Los Angeles. They find him at an airport, boarding a flight, saying, "I'm on my way to see my daughter." Totally disoriented. He's been in the league 11 years. And if you remember Lawrence Timmons, he is a bruiser.
Yeah.
Right? Florida State, from Florida State.
So they're already saying this is, he was disoriented. He really didn't know what he was. They're already speculating that it's head injuries. This guy's still playing.
Yeah.
So I get what the NFL is doing by trying to limit the contact and limit the hits. But you're only increasing if you don't give them the proper technique. So it has to be some kind of middle ground that they have to find.
I just think you need to sign a waiver. If you play this game, everything that goes on with you, you just say, okay, I'm all right. Because it's just like,
you're going to pay for it.
Right. But just saying, just compensate me for playing.
Yeah.
But when you sign the waiver, it's all good. Release liability
from it. You can't do that.
You got to, because you can't even detect CTE until after you're dead.
And I totally understand.
So my point on it is, football is just not really meant for the human body.
But a lot of these players can't afford the insurance and the treatment.
But I'm just saying, football is not meant for the human body. So if you're going to play, then you play at your own risk.
But you're going to take care of me when I'm done.
I shouldn't have to. I said, well, I can take this hammer and hit you upside the head because it's basically what you're getting every day. You come out here to play, come boom, hit you in the head with a hammer.
All right, G, what you got?
Would you also have to consider... Like, a lot of, like, when you think concussions, you think of, like, defensive players hitting other players or, you know, someone getting hit. You also have to consider the offensive and defensive linemen, especially offensive linemen. I think bad offensive line play has also contributed to, like, poor product these first couple of weeks.
Right.
They're not – if no one's hitting, then that means the offensive linemen aren't learning proper technique as far as blocking. So defensive linemen are either just getting right by them or running over them. So I do agree with you, Deed, as far as like technique. I don't know if it's not being taught or they don't have time for it, or how do you coach technique outside of game speed?
Yeah, you can't.
It's like trying, like there's I said no before, way. It's like trying to make a cigarette safer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna put a filter on it.
It's pretty bad.
I understand the conversation you're talking about, D. But
you
I
gotta
just
take care of me. But that's listen. You work your job.
Got a pension, and that's it. But
factory,
I mean,
but say you work at a factory.
Go ahead.
And say, okay, you work at that factory 25 years. They give you a pension, and you're good. But they know, working in that plant, you can get asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm done, don't tell me the money I made by working in your asbestos plant is the money I got to use to take care of myself after.
stewards. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying.
Listen, I understand sign a waiver, but the insurance, because they make billions of dollars. Some of that $1 billion has to go to take care of the well-being of the people that you know you're putting in that situation.
Should you have a better pension plan? Yes, I agree with that. I'm not saying it's the insurance. My thing on it is you're going to be compensated for the time that you're playing this game.
But everybody's compensated differently. Now, if you're going to compensate everybody the same amount, that's a different story.
But I don't see how you do that either because this is a private entity. The NFL is a private organization. If it was public,
NFL goes public now. They're no longer 501c3.
Let me ask you this. Public, how many people can come in and own a football team?
Well, I'm saying it's a public entity.
It might be said public, but what I'm saying is the NFL is its own entity. They got their own set of rules. They got their own judge and jury.
They're going to be regulated now, though. After this year, they go public. They're no longer 501c3.
No, I'm talking about they're still going to make up their own rules.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a loophole.
It's a closed thing. Can't nobody get involved in it. And they make their own rules. And what they do... The NFL stands for not going to lose, really. Not losing. I won't say the F word, but not effing losing.
You can say fennel.
And they never lose.
Yeah, and you're right. So we got to go to commercial real quick. So basically, the NFL is making millions of dollars, and they saying that—
Billions.
We would rather make the game safe or change the game that you grew up watching to continue to make billions and to avoid lawsuits. Simple as that. Hey, we get back, man. We're going to break down this Mississippi State-Georgia game. And if we can get to it, San Diego. Not San Diego, but Los Angeles and Kansas City.
Chargers Chiefs.
We'll be right back. Sports Roundtable.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Stuck in a high dollar, low gig family plan? Right now, switch to Boost Mobile's best family plan and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Plus, get up to four free phones. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Okay, so where do more Americans turn first in the morning to start their day? Go on, tell them, Robin.
Good morning, America.
George.
Good morning, America.
Lara.
Good morning, America.
So, take it from Robin.
Put some good in your morning.
With ABC's Good Morning America.
Sports Roundtable.
Ric Flair or Floyd Mayweather, who has the most swag?
Two things. When you transcend race, and the African Americans get behind you with
woo, woo,
and allegedly you sleep with Halle Berry.
Woo!
Drop the mic.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Sports Roundtable. On the downstretch, one of the best shows we've had. Thanks for tuning in each and every week. We got Mississippi State, Georgia this week. Mississippi State coming off a big win against LSU, who was ranked 12th in the nation. Mississippi State was unranked. I see this going down as a very physical game. It's going to come down to Fitzgerald. It's going to come down to quarterback play, basically. Mm. I think Chubb is going to be the X factor. Is Sony playing this week? Is he still out?
Right now he's still out.
Okay. I think Chubb is going to be the X factor for Georgia Georgia has to move the chain and keep Mississippi State off the field. But I think Fitzgerald will be the X factor for Mississippi State. And I think it'll be a close, close game. But I think Georgia pulls it out.
Yeah. My man Tay Harris on Facebook Live said the Bulldogs gonna win.
Simple as that.
Hey,
simple as that.
For all y'all that didn't get that, get your slow butt on the train, okay? The Bulldogs gonna win.
There you go. Yeah. All right, Han, what you got?
Well, I think both programs are on the rise. They're coming off, you know, a large, huge win in LSU last year. Last week. So as I say, different teams show up the next week. So we don't know how these college kids are going to come out. I'm sure it's a big game, big SEC game, means a lot. So I think Mississippi State has to come out and continue to put pressure on the edges with the wide receiver play. They got a few hundred-yard receiving games out of a couple of the guys. Like you said, Fitzgerald's a catalyst. He will be the key whether he can keep the chains moving on those key situations. I agree with that 100%. The defense has played well. They've only given up 9 points a game over the first three games, which is good. But going into Sanford Stadium, is it a night game or is it noon?
Night game, 7 p.m.
See, that's big. I think Georgia's fans, they'll be loud and lathered up. Sanford will be rocking.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Bulldogs. I think they'll be able to do it enough. I'll take the 5 points at least.
Which Bulldog? Yes.
Good. I got it.
All right, I'm
trying to hedge it.
If I'm going to take the points, I'm going with Bully.
Yeah.
To win, I think Ugga gets the win at home, but I like the 5 points in a close one.
Okay. All right, D.
I agree. I like Georgia to win the game, and simply because it's at Georgia. If it was in Stark Vegas, I would change my pick.
Right.
But the key to this game is going to be not can Georgia contain Fitzgerald, but can Fromm win the game, okay? Because they lean, and especially if Sony Michel is out, they're going to have to lean on Nick Chubb heavily, okay? And I'm not completely sold on Mississippi State's defense, okay? I believe Fitzgerald kind of has, what Han alluded to earlier, he kind of has the Deshaun Watson in him. He covers up for a lot of the deficiencies that Mississippi State has, and I believe in this game, at night, I just came from Sanford Stadium at night, and they played Samford out of Birmingham. That place is going to be rocking for Mississippi State this weekend coming in, especially off the big win over LSU.
That's what I like.
So I'm taking that 12th man of the Georgia Bulldog Stadium. I'm going to take that as the deciding factor that's going to win that game for Mississippi State. I mean, for Georgia.
Yeah. All right, G, how you see it?
I'm leaning towards Georgia because of the home field advantage primarily. I think it's going to be a low scoring game.
Yes.
Again, what's going to be key for Georgia is to score some points. They have to score some points. They've played two FCS teams so far, and they were able to score. And they and Notre Dame. So it's hard to tell what kind of team this is. I mean, are they going to lean on Nick Chubb running the football? Can Mississippi State make Fromm? Fromm's going to be the starter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can they make Fromm beat them with his arm?
Yeah.
It's going to be key for them. So I'm leaning towards Georgia still because of the home field advantage. As you said, if it was in Starkville, I probably would lean towards Mississippi State. But it's going to be key for Georgia to just – score some points.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you one more key because, and I agree with that, and it's kind of piggybacking off that. Georgia's going to have to score points. But in order for, I'm not saying they got to score 35, but what they're going to have to do is that defense. That defense, and it's going to be a weird analogy for a lot of y'all, that defense is going to have a little bit of that Alabama State in them. Alabama State created 3 turnovers with a defensive touchdown last weekend. If Georgia's able to score on the defensive end or at least turn over Nick Fitzgerald a couple of times, they really have a – Mississippi State has no shot in winning.
Yeah.
So it's really about the trenches and can they turn them over and can they make it hard for Nick Fitzgerald, because if they can contain him,
right,
it's going to be a long
I just
night.
Think they can't. They cannot allow Mississippi State to win on third down.
Yeah, that's big.
That's going to be the key. If he's able to keep that chain moving on those third and – whatever medium situations where they get another set of downs, I think Georgia's going to be in trouble that way.
All right,
got to get them off the field on Thursday.
Real quick, Tennessee, Florida, how did y'all feel about the finish as we wind down? Bad coaching or just horrible?
It's bad coaching.
Bad coaching.
You can – how you allow – you. Look, man, the only thing that'll beat you is something over your head. You cannot let anybody get behind you.
Hey, ain't karma a B?
Yeah.
Karma, yeah, that's what happened with them last year against Georgia. Right?
Rewind last year to all the games that Tennessee won and you see Butch Jones on the ground praying. Or he already looked like a tomato about to pop. You know what he looked like? Y'all, don't y'all know that commercial?
You look like somebody going to need a job.
He already need it. Hey, the Snapple commercial with the dude come in with the red face. Yeah. Don't that remind you of Butch Jones at all times? Like, he just looks like he's about to explode at every point in the game. But yeah,
he looked like Sergeant Card on Gomba Pyle.
Ooh.
Bad coaching, though, man.
Yeah, it's bad coaching. A safety.
What were they expecting?
I have no idea.
Deepest of the deepest.
How many seconds? It was like 6 seconds. Like, seven. What are they going to do?
They were in man coverage.
Listen.
Are you serious?
Listen, the cornerback inexplicably, during the play, leaves the deepest man to take the up man.
Right.
Bro, if he catches that, let him catch it.
He's playing short to deep instead of deep to short on a last play of the game situation. Yeah. I don't understand that.
Why are you not in prevent defense? You should have seven people lined up against the – you should be rushing for three, maybe, and have one spy and have seven people on the goal line.
That's crazy. Was stupid.
Yeah.
That's Butch Jones for you, though.
Butch Jones. That's off the chain.
Listen, I got something to say. Fire Butch Jones.
Already saying that.
Yeah, I said it last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, fire.
So that's going to prepare Florida, who still don't have offense yet because they still hadn't played with their best receiver or their best running back. Mm. That's going to give them the edge over Tennessee already. So the only two teams they got to beat is South Carolina.
Outdoor cocktail. And South Carolina looked horrible last week. Yep. After coming off looking so good in week one.
NC State?
Yeah, and they looked bad last week.
Yeah, help me with the fruit cups.
Yeah.
My man.
It looked bad.
Hey, man, it's time to set it down. And so I'm going to start my shout outs with the crew. Hey, man, once again, another banger. Appreciate y'all coming in, doing the homework, and putting it down. Shout out to Nene, orchestrated some of this food. It's in the other room we're about to go ahead and get to. We had a pregame meal. And so we definitely got to shout that out. Shout out to all the Facebook loyal onlookers each and every week. And shout out to the loyal listeners. Shout out to Ms. Reva, man. She asked about y'all.
That's all on Ms. Facebook. Reva.
Yeah, looking all spiffy.
Like the Blues Brothers.
Shout out to Ms. Reva, man. And we do this each and every week, man. And join us this Saturday. I can't forget. Join us this Saturday, 12 to 4, Big Easy Grill. Sports Roundtable will be at the Big Easy. So come have some fun. We got some games, trivia questions. Come and sit down and eat some shrimp with us.
Free merch, free merch, free merch, free merch.
Eat some shrimp and have some fun with the SRT crew. Come meet us, greet us, and do all those type things. We'll be there from 12 to 4. So I will have it on Twitter, IG, and Facebook as well. So we'll get to you soon.
Yeah, special shout out to my people in Flint. Special shout out to my cousin Dink. Going through some things. Get well, Dink. Love you, man. Shout out to all the people listening in and enjoyed the show. Keep listening. Keep supporting. Shout out to my wife. Love you, baby. Be home shortly. Who else I want to shout out?
Facebook folks.
Oh, yeah, Facebook folks. D-Wheel Facebook
got,
folks.
I got him. Follow him on IG at sppatrick.sh. sppatrick.sh.
My man. D-Wheel got me, baby.
Dessert.
All right, G.
All right, thank you for everybody who joined. These three guys on Facebook Live. if you want to follow me on social media, I'm at G Plays It Cool on Instagram. I also have a podcast. You can go to bythetimeyouhearthis.com and join us for our next episode as we continue Michael Jackson Appreciation Month.
Hey.
You saw your email you got from one of your lawyer fans, right?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I want everyone else to say that. Thank you very much.
I want to know what's going on.
All right. That was it. Did you get your shout out?
No, man.
All right, go ahead.
My wife gonna kill me. Shout out, babe. What up? And y'all already know, man. Follow me on social media, man. On Instagram, follow my t-shirt page @_RealTalkTees. That's @_RealTalkTees. Follow my main page on Instagram @IAmCoachK9. That's I am Coach K as in King and the number 9. Facebook, my government name, Derek Williams. That's DERIK, last name Williams. And also, man, I would need everybody, listeners, crew, I need y'all to say some prayers for my wife's grandmother. We call her Mama. She had a stroke today. She's pushing up there in age, so I want everybody to pray for her. She had a stroke. She's in the hospital right now, so we're praying for her that she gets better.
Prayers up. Soon. You already know. Hey, man, listen, thanks for tuning in for another banger. We'll holler at y'all next week. Same back time, same back channel. Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
Trump, leave Rocket Man alone, please.
Rocket Man! And we out. Peace.